Just before I teach, two things I want to say to you. On this Tuesday at 1 o'clock, we have a Thanksgiving service for the life of Ruth Slow. Ruth has been with us for a number of years, along with her husband, Michael, who they're ex-Salvation Army people. So they were, he was promoted to glory a few years ago, and she went to be with Jesus just a few weeks ago. Sadly, she was off on her holidays down to Cornwall, and as she was driving back on the coach, she closed her eyes, and the Lord took her home. That's the way to go into heaven. And I want you to know something about this lady. When we were in lockdown, and the very first Sunday that we were allowed to open up properly for church, she was the first person in the queue to be in. She's a saint, and we love her. And so there's going to be a service for Thanksgiving. If you knew her, do come along. And then another couple, Barbara and David. Barbara and David have been with us a number of, many years, probably well over the time that we were here, so probably 15 years. And David went to be with the Lord yesterday. Last summer, we celebrated their 58th wedding anniversary. How cool is that? And for 57 years of their marriage, David held out giving his life to Jesus. Okay? And last summer, he gave his life to Jesus. All right? And we celebrated it in revival prayer. And actually, if you know them, first service I said David stood up and said, but actually Barbara ordered him to stand up and say. And we were in revival prayer and we go, what are the stories? And she said, David has something to say. And he stood up and he said, I gave my life to Jesus. And the place just erupted with excitement. And yesterday morning, the truth is he was closer to the Lord's than he was here, so the Lord took him home. And you know, we're not scared about talking about death, because for us, death has no sting. Because that's why Jesus came, that we would have eternal life. So we celebrate these lives of this lady Ruth, who served Jesus all her life, and this man David, who hung on most of his life, but Jesus got him in the end. And they're both now in heaven, standing in paradise with Jesus Christ. So we thank God for them, but for Barbara, for the family, they've been together for a long while. We just, you know, please remember them in your prayers, and We'll give you more information on how we're going to celebrate David's life. Right. Do you know, when the Holy Spirit starts to move, there are a number of things that often start to happen. The first one is obvious: renewal, salvation, growth, joy, healing. And we love all of that. That is so much fun. Secondly, what tends to happen is that there is persecution or attack. One of the first things that happens in the early church is that Peter and John find themselves arrested. In the Wesleyan revival 200 years ago, one of the first things that happened was John Wesley was barred from preaching in the churches as he'd always preached in. And because they wouldn't let him preach, he had to preach outside. And he'd never preached outside in the streets before. And actually, he writes, this is such a vulgar thing to do, because he'd only ever preached in church. And it was Whitfield that encouraged him to get out. And before they knew it, thousands of people were gathering in the streets and on the village commons in England at 6 o'clock in the morning, in temperatures of below zero, before they went to work, to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's how that revival happened. So persecution often pushes us outside, and it moves the gospel from in a place to out and about. So it's often a good thing. And the third thing that needs to happen is that there's a need for resource or finance. And Juliet was just encouraging us to give. You know, the ministry of Jesus was largely financed by the rich women of Herod's household. You can read that in Luke, which is quite amusing to me. But as the church gathers momentum, the early church, there's a need for more resource. And we're at a point as a church and a gathering where we're seeing amazing blessing. We're seeing a hunger for God. We're seeing people give their lives to Jesus every week. We'll see some more later this morning. And if you've been here for a while, we've also had a little bit of persecution. But now we need resource. So we're at the point now where we need to extend this building or move to another. Our lease is up. We don't own this building. We rent it, and our lease is up next February, which it's getting a bit close now. And I can't see how we can do the things we need to do. If you want me to give you numbers, we probably need about £5 million. Because for me, that's a lot of money. I mean, I know for some of you, your piggy banks are pretty good. You keep them in Switzerland. But we need a miracle. We need a number of miracles. And this morning, what I want to do is talk about a man called Barnabas. We've been looking at some of the biblical characters, and we're flicking into the New Testament. So if you've got your Bible, find Acts chapter 4. I'm going to get my glasses. We've been talking about just how precious this book is, that this is the Word of God, and, you know, encouraging you to bring your Bibles. It's fine for you to read them on your phones. That's all right. There's no shame. But probably a month ago, the Lord spoke to me and said, go buy a new Bible and buy a really good one. So I've got this Bible, and it just feels so good. It's goat's leather. Do you want to, Joe, just have a feel of this. Go on. Look. Yeah, there you go. Does that not feel nice? Have a little feel. It's soft and, yeah. And so I told people that I'd done it, and a few people have gone out and bought Bibles. Good job. That's what the Lord wants. A few people said, you know, I've just started reading the Bible like I never have. And the truth is, that's what's happening to me. One of the signs of the presence of God in our midst is a falling in love with the Word of God. His words. These are His words. They're not my words. My words are down here. His words are up here. Okay, so we're going to read a few verses. Why don't you all stand? Because we show respect for this book. Because this is what God says. So this is Acts chapter 4. The church has been birthed. The Holy Spirit has come. There's been a little bit of persecution. And we're going to pick up at verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked. For all who were possessors of lands or houses sold them and bought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each as anyone had need. And Joe's, whose name was Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated son of encouragement, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and bought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Leave your Bibles open, take a seat, we'll carry on the story in a minute. What I want to say is this Barnabas releases generosity into the atmosphere. As the early church is growing and developing, many sell But it's heaven. It's heaven. I think we just lost the projector. As the early church grows and develops, many sell from their wealth and they come and lay it at the apostles' feet. Why? Because when God is moving, it's a really wise thing to invest in what he is doing. Jesus says your heart is where your treasure is. Now, the inference is, it doesn't say it, but the inference in the way the passage is framed is the person who started this was Barnabas. When people saw what Barnabas did, they followed suit. Generosity is catching. Now, I know that Jesus says that you shouldn't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. But we all know the generous people, right? We all know who is generous. Who are the people buying lunch? You know, we like them. Who are the people welcoming you into their homes? And you walk into their homes and it's just like it's your home. Who are the people driving you around that don't have a meter in the front of the car? We like them. Who are the people that are tipping their waiter or generous to people around them? We all know who they are. And Barnabas, the son who encourages people, that's what the apostles called him, sells a field and brings it to the apostles' feet. Now, he couldn't do it online then because they didn't have the internet. Okay, so it looks like what he did was he went off, he had this piece of land and he sold it and he filled a bag with coins, and the coins in those days would have been precious metals and would have weighed the weight of what they were worth. And he brings it and he tips it down the front in a church service. So there's a pile of money for what he got from the field. Just like the woman who, when Jesus goes to Simon the Pharisee's house, snucks in the back, breaks open a perfume and pours it over Jesus and starts washing his feet with her hair and her tears. It was for everyone to see. And you know what? There is so much going on in this place now. There is so much joy in the worship. We're seeing healing. We're seeing people come to faith every single week. We keep having to minimize the offering because of time, as if it wasn't important. But you know, what we bring to the feet of Jesus through our offerings is the proof of where our hearts are. You see, we can be emotionally engaged in this move of God, but what Barnabas models is what it looks to put your whole life in, what it looks to put the flesh on the emotion of everything that God is doing. Lord, we love you. Here's the field. This is the obvious move forward in Barnabas's mind, because what Barnabas is saying is, I'm all in. And do you know what? I don't know where the resources are going to come from for this next season of this church, but we could do some Barneys. And I want you to know that whatever you do under the unction of the Holy Spirit will be released among us and multiplied. Barney releases generosity into the atmosphere, and we need that. We need that in this city, and we need that in our nation, and we need that in our church. The generosity would be released even more than it already has been. The next verses are interesting, because whenever God starts to move, we see the genuine and the counterfeit. And there's a couple called Ananias and Sapphira. Ever heard of them? Everyone has. Poor people. And they see what Barnabas does and they copy him, but with the wrong motives. They want people to respect them for it. It's not a gift of worship what they're doing, but a means of position. And what I want to say is, friends, give your resources in worship, not to gain position. Money can never gain you spiritual position, only worship does, when we're on our face before Jesus. And if what is happening here doesn't affect the whole of our life, it's counterfeit. If you get caught up in worship and don't go home and love your wife more, what's the point? Or if you encounter Jesus and it doesn't result in a desire to be free from the sin that has held you all your life, what's the point? Or if the infilling of the Holy Spirit doesn't result in the renewal of your words to others. I did it again. I got cross with someone who blocked my drive. And I'm yelling at them because they blocked my drive and I needed to get out and they just left their car and gone with their kids. I did it again. And I'm yelling at this, but I even yelled at the kids. And I can just see heaven right now going, all the angels went. Why am I telling you this? Because this is real life. And the Lord fills us. But what he does is he makes us aware. You know that song, I'm not living like I used to, or at least I don't want to anymore. Sometimes I slip back into it. I want to live like Jesus. You know, if knowing the Father's love for you doesn't enable you to forgive those who sin against you, what's the point in it all? This is why Jesus came, to change our lives. Now, if you don't know the story about Ananias and Sapphira, I'm back to them now. They sell some property, but keep some back for themselves. Now, that would have been fine, but they pretend to give it. And they don't only pretend to the apostles or the church, they lie to their own hearts and in turn to the Holy Spirit. So verse 5, chapter 5, verse 3. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things, and the young men arose, wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. Well, there's a church service, isn't it? Have you been to one of those before? Let me ask you a question. Will Ananias and Sapphira be in heaven? Will we see Ananias and Sapphira in heaven? I don't know about you, but I hope so. Of course we will. I hope so. I can see the scene in heaven now. We're before the great throne of God. And the Lord says, where's Ananias? Silence. Ananias, where are you? And there's a sound from the back. It's Sapphira. We're here, Lord. We're at the back. So come on down. She's coming down. And I can hear Sapphira going, Lord, he told me to do it. It wasn't me. He told me it would be all right. He said it was okay. And suddenly the circle is complete. Adam blamed Eve. And Sapphira blames Ananias. And the circle is complete. And we realize that men and women, we all need Jesus in our life. You see, every act of worship is designed to change our hearts. In the week, it's been a hard week. Juliet's talking to me and she says, she wanted me to do this kind thing. I mean, it wasn't even a big thing, but she said, you just need to be kind. And I'm like, but this person's really hurt me. I don't want to do it. and we just need to. And I'm out praying the next morning and I'm talking to the Lord and I'm just explaining to him why I shouldn't be kind and why they should make the first move. And you know, I'm just talking to the Lord and when you have these conversations, often the Lord's quite quiet. And then the Spirit of God spoke to me as clear as anything. He said, Steve, there is only one heart before me right at this moment, and it's yours. And that's the only heart I can work on right now. Let me work on your heart and don't worry about the other hearts. It's your heart I'm working on. It's you I'm changing. It's you I'm transforming. I went home and I'll do it. I wasn't a cheerful giver. I was like, I'll do it. But the Lord is changing me. You know, Jesus tells a parable about a man who says, you know, will you do this? And he says, yes, I'll do it, and doesn't do it. And the one who says, no, I'm not going to do it, and then does it. And he says, which one's best? So sometimes we can be grumpy about it, but the issue is, do we do it? Do we do what he says? Is this Holy Spirit in our life truly transforming us and making us like the Lord Jesus Christ? And trust me, if it is, it's gonna be painful because we have to die and he has to live. And my flesh does not want to die. But he is living in me. And the question is, why did Ananias and Sapphira have to die? Well, let me say, the closer proximity to Jesus, the more is required. The closer proximity to Jesus, the more is required. The closer we come into the presence of God, the more that is required. He is not interested in my hurts and my insecurities. He's interested in the healing in his wings. My hurts, my insecurities, my pains were all dealt with on the cross of Jesus. That's why he came. Now he wants to heal me and transform me. That's what he's interested in. So when I'm talking about my hurts and my insecurities, he's not that interested. He said, let me bring my healing into your life. And for that, you need to die. You need to bow down. That's why every act of worship is designed to change our hearts. Really quick. Number three, his generous heart, this is Barnabas, sets him up for ministry. You see, generous hearts desire the things of God, not the world. We run after what God wants. Let me tell you a few things about Barnabas. Barnabas was a good man. Luke 11:24, of dignity, and he commanded authority, Acts 14:12. So, when a young man called Saul dramatically gets saved, and no one believes that he's really got saved, they believe that he's really trying to infiltrate the church, it's Barney who takes him before the apostles and says, this man is the real deal. This is the real deal. When revival breaks out in Antioch, Acts 11, and Barney is there, it's not Barney's revival. This incredible move of God starts in Antioch, all around Barnabas. And Barnabas goes to Tarsus to find Saul. There's not many people that do that. Well, this is my revival. God is doing this for me. This is my ministry. Barnabas didn't do that. Barnabas said, hold on a minute. Saul said that revival was going to come to the Gentiles and God was going to call the nations to himself. I need to go and get him because this is what Saul was talking about when they chased him out of Jerusalem. He then spends a year training Saul at Antioch. And it's at that point, we first get the name Christians. And then Antioch, the prophets send Barney with Saul. So Barney becomes apostolic. That's what sent apostle means, sent one. So they send him out with Saul, and we read Barnabas and Saul go to Cyprus. And we're in Acts 13 now. When they arrive at Cyprus, there's a sorcerer called Elymas. And he really bugs Saul. So Saul casts him blind. He says, in the name of Jesus, you're a messenger of Satan, and darkness is going to fall on your eyes. And he's cast blind. And you can just imagine Barney's going, oh no. And in a moment, the student becomes the master. We never read again Barnabas and Saul. It is now Paul and Barnabas. There aren't many people that can take that change. Don't you understand? I'm an apostle. He's my student. What are you thinking? God? Not many people can make that change. Except those who love Jesus have been transformed by his kingdom, and they're willing to lay their field at the feet of the apostle with no strings attached. You see, in the kingdom of God, it has nothing to do with position. It has everything to do with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It is him in us, not us. You know, right now, across the United Kingdom, many movements are struggling, well, across the world, actually, but especially in the United Kingdom, are struggling handing their ministries over to the next generation. I'm not sure we have that problem here, because this church isn't about Julian and I. It's about the students who are becoming anointed. It's about the Joels, the Chrises, the Rachels, the Tims, the Amelias, the Maddies, the Sophies. They have 40 years of ministry ahead of them. And that's why we need the resources. It's just starting. This is just the start. We're not in mid-flow. We're just dipping our toes in of what God is about to do. They're just starting. Acts 15, Paul and John Mark fall out. John Mark is young and he's a bit flaky. Anybody know some young, flaky people? And Paul goes, you missed morning prayer three times. You're out. Three strikes. You're out. You're not coming with me anymore. And Barney does what Barney does. You can read the story in Acts 15. Barney isn't a forgotten has-been. Barney is a son of encouragement. He knows his lane. He knows the anointing on his life. And he takes John Mark and he puts his arm around him and he says, come with me. Just as he did with the young rookie called Saul. And he says, we're going to take a journey and we're going to go and visit the churches. And the result of that journey is Mark's gospel. And later we see Paul and Mark reconnected. You see, just to finish, sometimes we celebrate the wrong people. We love to celebrate the Peters, the Pauls, the superstars, but it's the Barneys who are the real heroes. They are the giants in heaven. And I need some Barneys who will sell some fields. There is a spiritual gift of giving, and if you have it, we could do with it about now. If you're watching online, you can still do it about now. There are so many youngsters getting saved. 5 years' time, the Lord will have blessed them and they'll have lots of resources. Right now, it's me that's buying the dinners. But I also need some Barneys who will set an example to the whole church, who live a consistent life walking with Jesus, who gather up the young bucks, even when they're flaky, and will release them into ministry. See, what am I saying this morning? God is looking for Barneys who will sow generously. Make sure your worship is a real, affecting your heart and the whole of your lives. That's how you know it's real, when it affects all of us. Generosity sets you up for an enduring life of ministry. And then don't just celebrate the superstars. Look for the Barneys who know the anointing that's on their lives and release others into their anointing.